Amen. Hey, we're asking you, starting today, all the way through March, at First Baptist Church, every meeting on this campus, staff meeting, Sunday school, youth Bible study, whatever you do, echo that prayer. You can even join hands if you want to. I mean, that'll be up to you. But at least join your hearts and pray. Praise God. Ask God to prosper our people as our soul prospers, which means you got to have a revival in people's hearts. God doesn't prosper unless you love Him. Then guess what? He'll bless your socks off. Then that we just be faithful with the prosperity and blessings He's given us, and we need everybody, every single member of this church, joining hand in hand, heart in heart, and give as God has prospered you and blessed you. That's all you do. And give sacrificially and cheerfully. Echo that prayer in the month of March, every single meeting on this campus. If you got a properties committee meeting, Gary, lead it. Lead a prayer and ask God's favor on this church, and that we be faithful with the favor God gives us. Nick, Chris, Greg, Teresa Sones, some of the largest gatherings every week we got on this campus. All of you. And all the people I just left out. Okay. Hey, we may get out by 2:30. I'm going to go keep on preaching. Walk in the Spirit. In fact, I'm not even going to give you the whole thing. I'm giving you part one on this. How do you get along? How do you get along? With your family? Church family? The neighbor that always complains about your dog? That school teacher that doesn't like you? Probably because you're always interrupting her talking. I was that kid. I didn't even cough syrup back then. How do you get along? God calls us to walk in the Spirit. You got a choice, flesh or spirit. Now let's look at today's passage, Galatians 5, 16. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law condemns you to death. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. These are today's. I'm just giving you part of them. The social sins, part one of the social sins. Hatred, strife, outburst of anger, dissensions and factions. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You don't have to write a law against those things. You got to write laws against the fleshly things, the works of the flesh. But you can keep loving as much as you want in the Spirit. You can be as joyful as you want in the Spirit. There is no law against too much joy. No law about being too gentle with other people who are hurting. I'm going to pick some of the fruit to answer some of the flesh. We're going to match these up. So let's remember. I added a couple things here. I'm just going to focus on those. Remember, I've been contrasting work of the flesh. That's what we do. You can be lost as a goose and have all the works of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, you get to enjoy, but only the Holy Spirit can produce it in you. We bear the fruit, but it's produced by the Spirit in us. He's the vine, we're just a branch. Now notice the difference here. Not all of the passions are equal in your life. I'm going to mention some today and say, you know, I really don't struggle with that. I'm not really tempted by that. But when we went through sexual immorality, we went through those sexual sins, man, it ate your lunch. You struggle with that either in action or in your mind. Hey, you don't have to struggle with that. You can be set free from that. That's called the power of the Holy Spirit. You can bear what? The fruit of love and joy instead of those lusts. You can't. It's not meant for you. You see, the flesh and the spirit war against each other. Guess who wins? Jesus can win in your life if you'll choose Him and follow Him. The flesh is no match for the Holy Spirit's power. So yield your life in faith to the Holy Spirit. Now today, now notice the other part. Now the difference is you may not have all those, thank God, we'd be overwhelmed if all of them were equally against us. Some do, some don't in your life. But now when it comes to fruit of the Spirit, all of them are supposed to be manifest in your life. You don't get to pick, say, well, you know, I'm really kind of joyful person, but I just can't be gentle. No. It don't work that way. You get the Spirit, you get all nine. So something is not being yielded to the Spirit if you don't have gentleness toward other people in your life. And normally what we've done is we've lit some of that flesh off the cross. And we got to put it, we got to crucify it in the power of Jesus. Now, today, somebody's going to get hurt today. Your feelings going to get hurt. And guess what? Mine has been getting hurt now for about a month on this. Because this is some of the things I struggle with in my own nature. I'm a passionate person, but like I mentioned, sometimes that passion gets expressed in the wrong ways and it comes out of the cup and falls on people that it shouldn't fall on. In fact, it should still stay in the cup. And so the Lord's been dealing with me on this. And some of you, your feelings going to get hurt. Guess what, as your pastor? I'm your friend, but I've been here 27 years and you've loved me and Terry and my boys. And you're family to me. I don't call you friend anymore. You don't way past friendship with me. Every one of you, even the ones that I'm not your cup of tea. And you are here because of God. And you can't wait for God to call another pastor. I get it. Here lately, I'm too much cheese on a cracker for myself. I get it. We all have preferences. But you're here and you're faithful and you serve. We don't all have to like everything about everything. I get it, but you love Jesus and you've been faithful to your church. And I applaud you. And let me tell you something. You're family to me. You call me if you need me, I'll be there. We don't have to agree on everything. But the works of the flesh are obvious. And let me tell you something. These social sins rend the fabric of healthy relationships in your family, in your workplace, in your school place, among your friends, among the people you've got to lead. I'm telling you, when you let the social sins of this walking in the Spirit, and when it says walk in the Spirit, it's talking about this is your lifestyle. You just keep on doing it over and over and over again. We're not talking about sometimes you get angry. It happens. But it's not normal. It's the exception to the rule. But when somebody says these works of the flesh are the rule in your life, later on Paul writes, people who continually practice as a lifestyle these works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not because you're not good enough, because you didn't humble yourself and say, God, I can't defeat my own flesh by myself. I need your help. Save me. And He'll save you. And then He gives you His Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, to then guide you and enable you to live out all His gifts and overcome the flesh. He'll do it in you. You and I just trust and obey. We just follow. We just yield to Him. You're yielding to something. By the way, when it comes to flesh and spirit, there is no third category. Did you notice that? There's no neutrality here. There's, you know what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea? What did He say? I would rather you be hot or cold. But what were they? Lukewarm. What did He say about lukewarm? It ain't no lukewarm in the kingdom of my God, in my kingdom. I'm not going to tell you exactly what He said. You read it for yourself. But basically said, I'm not digesting that. That's not going to be part of my body, not the body of Christ. And He says, you're either what? Walking in the Spirit, or you've lit flesh. Start leading. And so confess it. Get it right if you're struggling with that. And today, if you have begun to put the seed in your mind and heart of the first social sin called hatreds, we choose to allow those thoughts and those feelings about other people in our life. And the Bible says hatreds here is a deep-seated ill will, and it's a state of being. It's not just an action. It's how we feel and think about some other person, some other group of people. And that is not of Jesus. It's not of God. That will not be in His kingdom. And if you deal with that, and we all deal with it, literally the word means enmity. What you're saying is, they're an enemy to me. We have this us-them mentality in this crazy world. Us, all the people I like, all my buddies, all my friends, our little clique, our little group. And then there's them. People not like us. People not in our group. Us, hey. Them, no, no. There is no us, them in the body of Christ. And if you're dealing with that, my friend, you need to take that to the cross. Romans 8:7-8 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity there, same Greek word for hatreds in Galatians 5. Same word. It means you're an enemy against God in your lostness without your faith in Christ, before Christ. It is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. When you're living in the flesh, not walking in the Spirit, that does not please God. That's the old man. But when you come to faith in Christ, He says, you're no longer my enemy. Now you've received my grace as a son, as a daughter. Now you're a child of God. You're back in the fold. You've come back home. You're no longer an enemy. You no longer have hatred. We're not opposed to each other. John 1:4-20, talking in the body of Christ to us, to one another, says, if anyone says, I love God, I'm thankful for the cross, and yet hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister in Christ, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? You say, man, it's beyond, I don't like them. No, you've done lit a seed of hatred. You see them as them. In Christ, there's just us. If there's something that needs to be resolved, I'm going to talk to you about how to do that. Now, the next part of these social sins, in the way I categorize this in my mind, there's only one today of the social sins that I'm covering that are inward. It begins in our heart and our mind. It's like a seed, but it does not stay there. What you sow is going to come out as harvest. You're going to reap. It's going to express itself outwardly. So if you sow the seed of I don't like them, I really don't like them. Even though mama says I can never say the word hate, you know in what you're thinking. And so does God. And then he says, if you're going to plant seeds of flesh, eventually you're going to have weeds of flesh. And where one is in your heart and mind, these are expressed in speech and fist. You clench up. You don't open up. You're not doing this. You're doing this. And what you do and how you treat them. Look what he says. Strife, the word eros, it literally means love for striving. You know, we got the Greek word eros, a physical, sexual love. Here it takes that concept and says there's a love, but it's a love for fighting and wrangling among people. It expresses it. You ever known people? They just constantly wrangling. They love to fight. They love to get after it. They love to express. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, they got on my last nerve? You got nerves from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I don't even know how many nerves you got, but you got a lot of them. And if you've let somebody get on your last one, what you've said is, they have got all over me. Let me tell you who ought to get on your last nerve. The Holy Spirit. Let him just get on all of them and say, Lord, I want to feel like you feel. I want to have the feeling that you feel. Replace this hatred and fleshly feeling. And Lord Jesus, you get on all my nerves and my last one. So there's nothing, no nerve that anybody can hit because I've given them all to you. 1 Corinthians 1:11. Boy, that church was in a mess. It has been declared to me, Paul wrote, concerning you, my brethren. He still calls them brothers, but he's got to have a little come to Jesus verse. He says, yep, Chloe's household told me this. He just goes ahead and tell them, well, Paul, who are they? Who's they that told you that? He just names them. Chloe, her husband, her son, her daughter, her mama told me, her grandmama, the whole household. They threw you all under the bus. That there are contentions among you. Same word. Strife and wrangling. Y'all just at each other's throat, fuming and fighting over nothing. Why? Because you let the seed of hatred come into your mind, and guess what? Seeds become weeds. And then all of a sudden the strife. There can be fighting and fuming in the White House, in the schoolhouse, even in the church house. If you're not careful, it'll come to your house. If you say, you know what? I'm tired of my uncle. That cousin doesn't really, are they really our cousin or? Because they don't seem to be like us. You can let the devil get in anywhere. Hey, another weed, outburst of anger. Oh Lord, I've done confessed this a number of times. The Greek word is thumos. I put this word out there because we interpret as anger, it's like heat. But the word really comes from the original word thumos comes from thumeo, and it means a violent motion like a wind. And when I read that original definition, now over time, you know how words get used, and then it comes out as wrath and anger, heat. But if you go back to that original thing, man, it gave me this imagery. In fact, I heard a preacher this weekend. So another preacher said this, so don't be getting on my case on this. I'm going to go out there like these modern preachers use. You know, like an illustration from a movie. He said, you know, sometimes people get on your last nerve and you're not walking in the Spirit and they make you mad. He said, they make you Liam Neeson mad. He said, you know, his daughter got taken by sex traffickers. What the sex traffickers didn't know, Liam is an undercover agent. And he finds them rascals overseas. And he finds a phone number for the head honcho. And he calls him. And he says, if you're looking for a ransom, I don't have money. But I have a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. And then he says, if you don't let my daughter go, I will find you. I will hunt you down and I will kill you. Now, the only problem with Liam Neeson is we don't know how he lets his ex-wife get taken in the next series, and then he lets his daughter get taken again. I think after a few hundred million, you ought to just say, okay, that's enough of y'all taking my family. But anyway, the old boy got Liam Neeson mad. But I'll tell you something. That always makes you feel good sometime for just a moment. But can I tell you something? In your relationships, the Bible says anger does not produce the righteousness of God. You're going backwards every time you don't control your anger. Hosea puts it this way. Indeed, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Remember the original definition of thumeo, which we get thumos from? A violent motion of wind blowing through your soul, ripping and destroying. If you sow hatred in your mind, you will reap the effects of an uncontrolled, tornadic anger. And it will destroy relationships that I'm telling you may never heal. It'll take the miracle of Jesus' forgiveness and the scar may remain. And I'm preaching because I know it. I know it. Some of you have had to deal with a parent. I didn't have parents, didn't have anger problems. They never got angry. They got a belt and solved the problem, done. We were done. I learned that lesson quick. They didn't yell, scream. My parents never, that I can remember, ever screamed at me. They just said, Greg, remember what I taught you? They warned me one time. I got off one time. Let's make sure you understand what I've taught you. If I did it again, they told me what the consequence was. You're going to go back to the bedroom. I'm going to open that closet. When she opened that closet, she didn't wait for Daddy to come home from work. Now, if Daddy came home from work, he didn't yell. But I know he was mad. He's a good dad, great dad. They taught me consequence. That was it. My mother raised me. You know what she told me? You're going to be the president of the United States one day. Thank God I'm not the president of the United States. God gave me the second highest honor, maybe the first. He called me to be your pastor. My mother poured in me. We couldn't say hate. God help you if you said the word hate in her house. My mother used her words. Now, she corrected me, and it wasn't like some idyllic, perfect. She's person, I'm person, we make mistakes. But my mother, you know what her rule was of her lifestyle and my dad? Now, my dad kind of came through a back door. He was of his generation. He taught me how to work. And he was proud of me, but he didn't use a lot of words. He did his by his actions. He did eventually. We finally, I guess we were both in our 40s, when we finally started expressing verbally our love for him. And it's just something that we'd had to develop in our relationship. But Mom, on the other hand, nonstop. And I thank God for that. But I'm telling you, parents, you have to discipline your children. Don't ever do it in anger. That's not discipline. Just remember that. The third I'm putting together, because we really would have been here till 3, dissensions and factions. See how they go together? They're very similar. And without going into all of this, basically what it says, when you sow hatred, you get outbursts of anger, you get wrath, you get all of those things that are there out of the flesh, and that those weeds start growing. And then what is the expression after outburst of anger? Division. Relationships are torn. The fabric that should be a beautiful tapestry of your relationship is now rent and torn. It can be religious heresies in the church, which is the definition of factions. What does that mean? Division and separation. We've let tertiary matters divide us and forgot that the cross that we do agree on unites us. And we agree on 90% of everything else, and yet we'll choose the 10 and then divide the church up over it, instead of sitting down, saying, let's love each other and talk it out. And if we have to agree to disagree, let's at least admit this is not about the gospel. This ain't about getting saved. This is just an application, and you feel like the application ought to look like this, and I think the application ought to look like this. We may never agree. And by the way, I may hint at some application in sermons, and I do. Every preacher does. I give you some suggestions of how you might can do this and apply it in your life. But can I tell you something? Only the Holy Spirit can truly apply the Word of God in your life. Somebody else can be able to do something, but God has said, to you, it's out of bounds. Somebody else may have the freedom to do that, but it's too dangerous for you right now. He's told me many times, Greg, don't even go there. Just cause they can do it. Now, it's not talking about sin, it's just talking about applying even freedom. But God applies to your heart His Word if you'll open up. So don't get here and say, well, preacher, I don't agree with that. Okay, you might not. Think about it. It might be just because God's trying to apply it and you just not liking it. But be open enough to say, God, I don't want to separate. I don't want there to be division and dissension in my family. Jesus said, a kingdom is divided against itself, and if it is, it cannot stand. A house is divided against itself. If it is, it cannot stand. I loved what Ryan said at the end of his prayer. God, give us a spirit of generosity, give us a spirit of sacrifice, and then did you pick up on that last word? A spirit of unity. I thought, hot dog, that's a deacon right there. He obviously hadn't taken any of my cough syrup, but thank God, there's a lot of different ways. And boy, you did a good job, Brother Ryan. Carrie, thank you, Nick, for pulling all this together at the very last minute, all this media and stuff. He's had an incredible week. Nick has had an unbelievable work week. Did such a great job. And I mean, we worked him to the bone even at the last minute, adding to his thing. And I appreciate all our media people and the whole team making all this stuff happen. Guys, their stuff goes behind the scenes making stuff. Y'all just come in here and enjoy. Matt Walker, there's air conditioning and doors locking and unlocking and security right now. Are looking at a TV, got some brand new cameras. We don't even tell you where all these cameras are. We trying to look at your stuff, make sure all your stuff all around the church is okay. Nobody stealing your gun out of your car right now. Did I say that? That's the cough syrup. Okay, let's keep going. Hey, I'm getting to the good stuff now. Oh, yeah, I knew we were going to be past 12. The spiritual, notice I'm going to say it, antidote, I got it right today, to social sins. Number one, patience. The word literally means, if you got a King James and you got long suffering, you got the best translation because it's literal. Greek word, macro long, there's that. Remember that word, thumeo, there's that word again, heat, anger. But in this case, it just means heat. And so it means you take a long time to get heated up because somebody hurt your feelings or did something you didn't like. In other words, you are patient with them. You say, Lord, I didn't like that. But there, by the grace of God, go I, or Lord, I've done even things worse than that, and you were patient with me and forgave me. Lord, help me be forgiving and patient with them as they work it out. May take a few years. Just be long-suffering, patient with them. Ephesians, I like the NIV 84 translation, says, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. What it's saying is, resolve that anger and replace it with godly patience with people. You want to know how to get along? You have to say, oh, Holy Spirit, help me be patient with them like you have been patient with me. That'll help you get along with people. Hey, let's keep on going. If you get angry, I'll go back because that is one thing that might help somebody. See the last word, the last sentence down there? You'll feel the heat rise. You'll feel that tornado start spinning. Anybody ever said something to you and you took it the wrong way or you took it exactly how they meant it and it lit a fire just like that. Pow! And you feel it rise up. You know what patience and walking in the Spirit does? Excuse me. I want to come back in just a moment. I want to hear the rest of what you've got to say because obviously it's very meaningful to you. But may I take just a moment to myself and I'll be right back. And you walk away. One Mississippi. Two Mississippi. Just count to 10. Use the Mississippi thing. Don't use Iowa. That you'll get through too quick. Use Mississippi. Don't use Iowa. Use Mississippi. Why? Because you're going to breathe and you're going to pray. Now, Lord, I yield to your Spirit. Help me be long-suffering. They're obviously upset. I want to hear. Now, that's if the outburst is right here. They did something, and you are about to even the score. You about to get loud. Walk away. Flee from youthful lust. Now, youthful lust does not mean, well, when I was young, I had a sex drive. It could be that. But you know what youthful lust really means? Childish passions. Remember what Paul said, 1 Corinthians? He said, you know, when I was a child, I did what? I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away that immaturity of hatred, of outburst of anger. Guess what? You're never too old to put away childish things. Old devil may whip it up. Just make sure it's the exception and not the rule, and then deal with the exception. Apologize where you need to. Ask God to forgive you. He will. And let me tell you something. He'll bring a revival in your heart. Do not have outburst of anger. It only brings destruction in that relationship. Deal with it. So patience helps us do that. The next one today is kindness. Krestos. It means being useful and proper. But the point is, kindness is not a feeling. Kindness is action. Being good to other people. Kind to other people. You say, but they're not kind to me. Be kind to them. I love Isaiah 1:7. Says, the people of God learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow. That's goodness. That's being kind in your community. Not just feeling a warm fuzzy. You actually do something profitable for them in your community, in your family. Be kind. And then probably the one that God has been working on me for many years. Sometimes I walk in the Spirit in this, and I'm so blessed. And unfortunately, sometimes that old flesh wants to crawl off the cross. And I got crucified again. Gentleness. Gentleness is a soothing disposition. You know what gentleness does? It pours oil over troubled waters. It's a mild response. Now, what verse do you think God put on my heart to remind us of this? Y'all learned it in Bible drills, not this year. Proverbs 1:15, the New King James says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Every time they got mad at me, my sister got mad at me, I got mad at her. Boy, that helped. Boy, we're going to love sitting in the room all night by ourselves tonight. A soft answer. Greg, a soft answer turns away. But Greg, a harsh word. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You know what that leaves you? Everybody's blind, and everybody has to eat pudding for the rest of their life. Don't you think forgiveness would be more insightful and taste better? Peace with others requires you to put down your anger, even if you are the wronged party. If there's ever going to be reconciliation, a soft answer is needed. He said, but Greg, you don't know what they did. If you want to keep fighting, if you want to keep losing eyes and teeth, still won't be churned up and have stress all the time. Or you can choose to walk in the Spirit. So now we land the plane. Not even close to three. Brother Greg, how can I get along with them? Well, number one, it's the body of Christ. There is no them. But if you've got an ought against your brother, you've got to make a choice. Are you going to respond in the flesh, or are you going to let the Holy Spirit guide you and then enable you to do what you cannot do naturally, but He will help you do supernaturally. And I'm telling you, it is as real as this wooden pulpit right here I'm touching. If you yield to the Spirit, the feelings change. Your mindset changes, and guess what will happen? Your relationship will change in time. The world will change. And if they're still as mean as a snake, out-love them. Just keep on loving them. Out-love them. Matthew records the words of Jesus. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, my disciples and followers, learners, my family, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. That's walking in the Spirit and not living in the flesh. How about it? You want to get along? You can. Some of you here, your real problem is not with somebody else. That Romans verse, it was speaking to you. Without Christ, you've put yourself in a position that is opposed to God. And you're trying to save yourself. Not going to happen. You're not going to ever be good enough. It's got to be heavenly perfection. Only Jesus could live that way, and Jesus willingly gave his perfect life as a sacrifice for our sinful life and paid our price. And then, praise God, on the third day, he rose again and can give you the gift of reconciliation with God. No longer an enemy, you can be a saved child of God. Some of you today, you need to come to Jesus and get that right and stand for him. Be baptized. Be a part of our church. God's calling you. Serve here. Join arm in arm here. Learn here. Bring your gifts here. Receive ministry here and be blessed here. You can. We'd receive you gladly on like faith and baptism. If you need to be baptized as a believer, we can do that. But today could be your day for God to do his work in your life. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we ask that you do in us what only you can do. And that, Lord, during this invitation, have your way as we sing your praise. And that, Lord, we get along with you first, and then we can get along with one another. I thank God that truthfully, Lord, most of our relationships, I don't know of anything. Nobody's told me anything. We get along here. We love one another here. And I thank you for that. It was that way when I came. And praise God, I pray it'll always be that way. And that's up to your credit, Lord. You get all the honor and glory for that. And we are the blessing. We get to bear the fruit. But it comes by the person of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we thank you for that. But if there is something somewhere in our life, Lord, help us respond to them in the Spirit. And I pray, Lord, today that during this invitation, whatever decision needs to be made, that, Lord, you would have your way and we'll stand for you in whatever decision. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?